the Holy Spirit working through me for the first time ever, and it was absolutely amazing. And you get this numb feeling, and you just feel like you're being drained, like all of the bad things are taken away, and it's just filled with this amazing feeling. And we stood in a group and we prayed, and I got the gift to speak in tongues, and it was absolutely amazing. It's like you get this giggly feeling, like you can't stop laughing. I'm like, hey, stop now, and my face is just like, nope, nope, no, no. So it was just really amazing, and I would want anyone and everyone to experience that feeling and to just open up to God, even though no matter how tough your life have been or situations that's crossed, but just to give it all to Jesus. And he's amazing, and he will make amazing things work in your life. Yep. Okay.
Thanks a lot. It's awesome to hear those type of testimonies. What I got, what I had to preach about this afternoon, is come close to me. And close to me, it is, the Lord is asking us that we should come closer to him, because he wants to have a relationship with us. And a relationship is starting somewhere. And what came up in my mind is that first picture is that one of Boer Soekt Vrou. Okay? So what's happening over there is that you've got a few farmers who want to start a relationship because they are on their own on the farm. They need somebody to help. And then they are, they write letters. They get people who they get a lot of letters. And then out of the letters, they select 10 of them. And then they've got to speak to those 10. And last week, I watched a little bit with Renee. And it was interesting for me to have a look and to see that they've got 5 minutes what they could speak. But then how the subjects actually changed. Sometimes they were talking about the farmer. Sometimes the lady was talking about herself. And sometimes we're talking about something else. But in that 5 minutes, that guy had to decide, okay, is there a potential? Or is there no potential whatsoever? At least he could select out of 10, he could select 5 then. And it was quite interesting for me to, because the guy has got to decide in that short period, is there something for him or is there nothing for him? Now, what I'm going to ask you to do now, because that's those two, unfortunately, you must remain on your own over there. Just quickly chat to each other and just share what would you say is the most important thing in a healthy relationship between two people. What would you see as the most important thing in a healthy relationship between two people? You don't have to write a book. It's just, it can be one word, can be just one principle or one thing. Just quickly share it with each other. I said most important thing, not things, thing. Just one. Right, it seems to me that you all have got something. Okay, now we're going to put it on a back burner, and we're going to get to that one a little bit later back again. What is the most important thing? Okay, now with Boer Soekt Vrou, it is starting a relationship. It's sometimes also that coming closer and to know somebody else, it's also sometimes that relationships have been broken and that relationships have got to be restored again. And which came up to me is the story of Joseph. And I will read the scripture just now, but a little bit of background, which will help us maybe understanding of what actually happened over there. If we take Joseph, His father liked him. His father gave him a specific coat, very fancy coat. He got dreams that his brothers were bowing before him and that he was actually superior to his brothers. The brothers didn't like it. They didn't like him that much. And then he was most probably at the age of 17. He was sent by his dad to go and have a look at his brothers who were somewhere in Israel with the sheep or the cattle or I don't know what type of animals they had at that time. Just to have a look and see how they were doing. And then he went over there. And then the brothers, they decided, okay, you know what, now it's time that we basically can get rid of him and that we can get him out of the way. And then they came with that story to the father and said, sorry, most probably an animal has eaten him up. We found the coat, there's some blood on it. But in the meantime, they sold him. And yeah, he was sold and those people were on the way to Egypt. And then they took him to Egypt and they sold him over there again. And then he was a slave. Then he had to work in a certain house. The guy's name was Potiphar. And then Potiphar's wife tried to get him into bed, but he decided no. And he made a clever decision. He turned around 180 degrees and he ran. And he left his coat. He didn't even go back to have a look and to get his coat back again. He just ran and he was out. But then again, the wife accused him, so he landed up in jail. And then we know about the dreams, what the two people had along with him in jail. He explained the dreams and he asked him, he said, please try to get me out of prison. And nothing happened. And then later on, the Pharaoh got a dream. The dream about the seven cows. Fat cows and the lean cows, what would it actually mean? And then the one who has been in jail remembered, oh, wait a moment, Joseph, he will most probably know about it. And then they got him out of jail. And then he explained it to the Pharaoh of what it actually meant, the 7 years, the fat years and the lean years, and that he had to prepare and all those type of things. And like it is always happening if you are in a meeting, and if you come with a suggestion, then they most probably will say to you, then you're going to implement that suggestion as well. The Pharaoh did exactly the same with Joseph. He said, I like your idea, go and implement it. And suddenly he became, from a prisoner, he became prime minister of Egypt. His age was approximately 30, which is also for Jewish terminology. It's then at the age that you are being reckoned with. So between 17 and 30, roughly 13 years, he has been in jail. He's been at different places. But what happened in the meantime, he always had a relationship with God, which was very important for him. And he kept that relationship with the Lord. Then the 7 years came, the fat years, and he had a clever system. He started in getting off that excess food. He stored it, and when the 7 lean years came, he could start selling it. And he had a very clever system because he sold that food, what he had over there. He got the money from anybody, from the Egypts, from the Egyptians, and also from the people from other countries all around. And then later on, if they didn't have money anymore, he said, now you can give me your piece of land and that you can also. So at the final end, what Joseph actually did in Egypt, that the whole country, except the land which belonged to the priest over there, that the whole country was property of Pharaoh through the system what he implemented over there. And he also implemented the tax system over there. That's for the auditors in the crowd over here. He had a tax system, 20%, one-fifth of whatever UK got in, that had to go to Pharaoh. So Joseph really had a good system over there. He was a proper minister of finance over there. But then his brothers came as well, because they were living in Canaan and they needed food. They came and then they said they would like to buy food. And then what happened is that they came, they got food, they went back again, but then they found that the money, what they paid for the food, was still in the bags. And they thought, okay, that's strange. And but then Joseph also asked and he said, because he knew who they were, and they must probably have been speaking with the interpreter. So his brothers didn't know him, but he knew his brothers. And he asked, he said, okay, you're talking about your dad. Is he still alive? Yes, he's still alive. And is that all of you? No, there's still two brothers. One is dead, which should have been Joseph, and then the other one is still at home, Benjamin. He said, okay, if you're speaking the truth, bring him next time. So they had to next time, when they were running out of food, they had to bring him. They had to bring Benjamin over there as well. And then Joseph, when he saw his brothers over there, and I'm coming now actually to the scripture, because he invited him to his house. And when he saw his brothers over there, he chased actually the Egyptian people out. And then it was just him and his brothers over there. And then Joseph said to his brothers, because then he revealed who he actually was, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? That was for him the most important thing. But his brothers couldn't answer him. They were dismayed in his presence. I think those brothers didn't know what they had to expect now, because they've seen now, they are now with the prime minister of Egypt. They're getting food from him, but they sold him 13 years back. What's going to happen now? So they kept quiet. They didn't know what was going on. And then Joseph said to his brother, come near to me. And by that, by saying, come near to me, he basically said, I've forgiven you. What happened in the past, I've forgiven you. That's what he said, come near to me. So they came near to him. And then he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. So Joseph could see further. He could see what God actually planned. He could see the plan of God over there, that God sent him already in advance to prepare to be in Egypt, to have food over there. So if the 7 lean years were coming, that there would be food. And that's what he was explaining. He wasn't angry with his brothers who sold him. He wasn't angry with them, the story what they spent and what they were telling the father. That he wasn't angry about, because he could see what was God's plan, and he could look further than that. And that's where that relationship has been restored between Joseph and his brothers. And then, after that, the father, Jacob, which his name is Israel, he went with 70 people over there, male people, which were his sons and his grandsons. And when they left 430 years later, there were 2.4 million from the 70. So they increased substantially in that period. Jesus also came to this earth to restore a broken relationship. Like I said last week as well, God created the world, and he wanted that we should be along with him. And he walked in the evening with Adam and Eve, and he spent time with them. He had a relationship with them. And then that relationship was broken, but God has got a plan. And that plan was Jesus. And he sent Jesus then to restore that relationship. In John 1, it also says over there, he was in the world, that's Jesus then, and the world was made through him, because Jesus is part of the Trinity. And the world did not know him. The world didn't know Jesus, didn't want to know Jesus. He came to his own. So Jesus came, and he basically came to invite all of us to start. I sometimes think of Jesus already started handing out invitation cards at that time for eternal life. He started handing them out and told the disciples as well how you've got to hand out those invitation cards. And today, we still have got to do it. We still have got to hand out those invitation cards to heaven, because it's still available. We still have got time to do that. And he came to his own, which means that he came then to this world which he has created. And his own did not receive him. The Pharisees and all that, they couldn't understand Jesus. They didn't see Jesus as the Messiah. They expected somebody who was coming, was going to create an army and chase the Romans out of the country. This is not the Jesus what they expected. They were disappointed. His own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And that's what we've been talking about the adoptionist just now as well, that yeah, that we can be children of the Creator, that we can be children of the Father. It's an awesome privilege by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. And James has also been writing it in James 4, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. We've got to come to God. We've got to make that step forward. God is a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself down on us, because then we just become puppets. Then He's going to tell you to do this and that. And no, He's waiting for us. We've got to make that step forward, and we say, Father, I want to come to you. As what Joseph said to his people, come close to me now. I'm forgiving you. I want to have a relationship with you again. I want to restore that broken relationship. And this is what Jesus also came to do, it's to restore that broken relationship with us. Now I'm going to jump to something about that relationship, and that is that card what we completed last week at the different small groups. There were a few questions on it. What am I trusting God for in my small group? And whose salvation am I going to pray for, and where am I going to serve this year? And then the other question was, how am I going to equip myself this year? How am I going to, I nearly want to say, make that step forward to God? How am I going to come closer to God? What am I going to do? And there were different answers. The one said, I'm going to do Bible school. The other one said, no, I'm going to attend courses. The other one said, is going to read books. I understand it will be then books about God, of course, intercession, quiet time. It's all about to get a closer relationship with God, to come closer to Him, because that's the whole idea. Because it doesn't help that you're going to do those type of things, that you say, okay, I'm completing my card, and at the final end, when I'm going to heaven, then I can say, right, I've done show for Bible school, I've done encounter 1 and 2, and I've done, that's not going to help you. It's about that relationship. It's about the learning more. Those are tools to learn more about God and to come closer to Him. So that is what we did with those cards. And yeah, if you haven't completed a card, then you can still do it. But it's about getting closer, coming closer to God, reacting on the invitation what God is giving to us, that we can come closer to Him. Paul also knew what the value is of knowing God and having a close relation with Him. In Philippians 3 verses 8 and 9, and I took the New Living Translation because it has got a description over there which for me is actually the correct words over there. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I've discarded everything else, counting as it garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. What he's saying over there, yes, everything else is worthless. Everything else besides knowing Jesus Christ is worthless, hasn't got any value. So you can be the president of America. You can be the richest oil sheik walking around. You can have huge amount of money. You can be Bill Gates. You can have everything what you've got. Paul says everything is worthless. It doesn't mean anything. You can have 10 cars, you can have 15 houses, you can have a house in Monaco and I don't know where all over the world, and have a yacht here and have a boat over there and a holiday house and a ski resort. You can have everything. It's worthless. It doesn't mean anything when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That's such a value. No, there's no value. You can't put any. So if you come and you've got to audit it, you're not going to be able to put it on paper. You can't put it on paper. It's too big. It's too awesome. And that is something which for me is nice to see. If you see people like the two of you just now worshiping, you know that value. It's so awesome. You can see it and we can experience it. And that's awesome. That's so wonderful to see that. And like Paul is saying over there, it's worthless. Counting is as garbage. Now, if it is garbage, let's say in the Netherlands, you won't see anybody walking around with a garbage bag, walking around with it, because it's garbage. You don't want to be with garbage. You throw it away. You don't want to keep it with you. That's why it's garbage. So everything else, it's garbage. Counting it as garbage. You don't want to be linked up to it. You don't want to hold it. You just want to throw it away. And I become righteous through faith in Christ. I come in a right relationship with the Lord. Righteousness means I'm coming in a right relationship with the Lord through faith in Christ. So that's the door. That's what's opening up. That is helping me with the relationship, what I've got with the Lord. So we've been asking, what are you going to do yourself to equip myself this year? What are you going to do to get a spiritual growth, to come closer to God? And sometimes they compare spiritual growth with climbing a mountain. And when I first read it, I thought, I'm not totally grasping it, but then when I read it again, I thought, yes, it makes sense. First of all, if you're going to climb a mountain, at a certain level, no vehicles are allowed, which means you've got to go on your own. You cannot jump into a car, like a chauffeur car or a chauffeur church, and drive with the car up the mountain. No, at a certain time, you've got to get out, and you've got to walk on your own. You've got to climb the mountain on your own. So it's not a matter of that you can go along with another vessel. No. So if you're going to climb a mountain, at a certain point, no vehicles were allowed past that certain point. And climbing the mountain, it's not always gradually. Sometimes it's quite steep, sometimes it's a little bit more level, and sometimes it's even level or even going a little bit down before you're going up again. And you continuously have got to think about it. It is going to happen those times that I'm maybe going to have it a little bit more difficult. So you've got to plan a little bit and say, okay, if I'm coming in a little bit of a difficult time, I should have enough stamina that I can go that steep part and that I can climb that steeper part. If we're going to climb a mountain, we also take water along. We always have got water with us, spiritual water. We always have got that link with the Lord. We always have got what Jesus said, I'm the living water. We always have got that link. And if we've got that link with the spiritual, with God, with Jesus, then we can climb the mountain, then we can go. And if we're coming then to the top, and if you look around and you've got that view, okay, there are not many mountains over here in the Netherlands, but let's say you climb a mountain and you're at the top of the mountain, and you look around, then those few things which you slipped it a little bit and a few scratches which you've got on your leg and so on, they don't mean anything anymore. Because that view which you've got is so astonishing. And I think you tasted a little bit of that as well yesterday. You cannot describe it. It's giving you such a lot of power. It's giving you such a satisfaction. You cannot put it in a box and say, okay, I'm going to give it to somebody else. No, it's your own experience. But those type of experiences, what you've got when you climb a mountain, when you come on the top, that's helping you again for your next climb again. Because you say, okay, I remember that previous one. Some of us, they write it down in the journals. And they go back and they say, this is what the Lord has been telling me. This is where I had one of those views, where I was at the top and where I could look and where I could see into the future of what the Lord was planning to do with me. Now I'm going to run through a few points, what we can do to have a closer relationship with God the Father. These are not ones which are in concrete. It can differ. It can differ a little bit, but there are a few, and once I'm going through it, you'll most probably understand that they've got certain value, and we've got to keep that in mind. The first one is that we've got to confess our sins to Him. Like I explained last week as well, our sins, it's like a type of a wall, a barrier between us and him. We've got to confess it so that it's broken down, that we can have a relationship. If I would have an argument with my wife, let's say I've done something wrong. Let's say I've done something terrible wrong. Then I can do as many things I want to do as possible afterwards. I can buy her flowers, I can make her a million cups of coffee, I can do all the things what I want to do. It's not going to help. I've got to go back, and I've got to say, I've got to stand right in front of her and look her in the eyes and say, I'm sorry, and it's really out of my heart, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And if she says, yes, I forgive you, then everything is fine again. And it's the same with the Lord. If we're not going to the Lord, and if we're not going to say, I repent, because it's not a matter of that I can just pass my wife and say, I'm sorry. No, it doesn't work like that. I really have got to stand in front of her, I've got to look her in the eyes, and I've got to say, I'm sorry. And then she will understand it. It's the same with the Lord. We also have got to go to him. We've got to make really serious. We've got to be serious with that repenting. We've got to mention that sin what we've got, so that barrier can be taken away. If that barrier is there, it's going to block our relationship with God. And maybe it's not our sin what we've got to do. Sometimes it's also that we've got to forgive somebody, that we're not prepared to forgive somebody, and that is keeping that barrier between us and between him. We've got to listen to God when he speaks. Some people, they feel that the Lord is only speaking through the Bible. Out of my own experience, I would say, if you spend time with the Lord, he's going to reveal himself to you and he's going to speak to you. It was beginning of 2014 when somebody asked me and said, okay, what is the Lord saying to you about Europe? And then I thought, okay, I'm going to give a good answer. I said, I'm going to pray about it. Okay, right, pray about it. But how are you going to pray? So then I really took time and I sat down. Early in the morning, all the family was still asleep, made myself a cup of coffee, had some rusks as well, took some music, and I really started spending time. I really was coming closer to God. I wanted to know more about him. Sometimes I was lying on the floor, sometimes I was crying, sometimes I was laughing, sometimes I was singing, sometimes I was doing all type of things as I felt what I had to do at that moment. I was listening to songs and I thought, but why is that guy singing now exactly the message what I actually should hear? And okay, but I would switch on the phone, I listened on the phone and then I would shuffle it and then I don't know which songs are going to play. But then he would exactly sing the songs, the phrases which were applicable for me. And I said, oh, it's every time, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. So when I'm doing it now, nowadays, when I press shuffle as beforehand, I said, Lord, you know which songs I've got to hear. So I'm trusting you. I'm not going to select songs. I'm leaving it up to him. And that's where I started to hear what God was saying. So it wasn't a matter that I had to listen of that I had to read the Bible and find answers. Yes, the Bible was giving me sometimes confirmation, but I could ask God and I could ask him questions and I would get answers. And that's the reason why I'm over here and that we are over here, because we asked God and God gave us reply and said, this is what he's looking for. And that is awesome. So the next, like I said, is that we listening to God when he speaks. We speak to him through prayer. And of course, there's one example, Jesus. Jesus went and he prayed many times. And if you try to understand it, that Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he prays to the Father, then you sometimes think, but was it really necessary? And I think we couldn't have got a better example over there as Jesus. He went and he prayed. He spoke to the Father. He wanted to have that connection. It's part of coming closer to God, coming of strengthening the relationship with God, and that is through prayer, that we spend time with him and that we pray. The other, which is also important, is find a body of believers whom you can regularly worship. That's what we're doing here on a Sunday, that you're part of it. Because it's not only the that we are here together on a Sunday. On a Wednesday, we also come together in a small group. We've got sometimes encounters. We sometimes have got other things what we're doing together, and we're supporting each other. And if some one of us has got a problem, you can just send the app to the others and say, please pray for me. I'm going for a job interview. I've got this or I've got that. You're not feeling alone. You've got other people around you who support you. It's the same as when you're climbing that mountain. You're walking on your own, but you're not going on your own. You've got other people walking along with you, with whom you're also talking. How are you doing now? My legs are a little bit sore. And that is what's happening as well with, if you're walking that road towards God, you can share it with somebody else. You can say, I'm feeling a little bit down. Will you please pray along with me? Body of believers, that they are going to help you as well. And a closer relationship with God is also built on a life of obedience. And Jesus told his disciples in the upper room, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we do not want to obey what God is telling us, then the relationship is not actually going to be of much of a value. I can compare it with the relationship that I've got with my wife. If she's asking me to separate the paper and the plastic in two different dustbins, then I'm obeying her. If I nearly can say, then I'm doing that because it's helping. But if I'm not going to do it and she asks me to do it, then I'm basically saying to her, I don't mind. But that's not the case. She's very important, so I'm listening to her. I want to do what she would like me to do. And it's the same with God. We also have got to go to God and listen to him then. And if he's telling us that we've got to respect our mom and dad, then we do it. And if God is telling us that we've got to pray for our enemies, then we pray for our enemies. If the Lord is asking us that we should forgive those who have been sinning against us, then we forgive them. Although it's sometimes difficult, but we've got to obey. You just now mentioned John Bevere as well. John Bevere says, the highest form of worship is obedience. There's nothing higher than that. It is. So now we're coming back again to when I asked you in the beginning. What do you see in a relationship? What is the most important thing? And I'm not going to ask you to mention it, but what I'm going to ask you, if this is what you're seeing as most important in a relationship between two people, is God getting that from you in your relationship with him? If that thing is so important, if that thing is so important between you, between two people, are you giving God that thing? If it is trust between two people, do you trust God? If it is time between two people, are you spending time with God? If it is looking in a face, if it is flowers, if it is something else, what you expect, what should be between two people, are we giving that to God? Out of a personal situation, time is a difficult thing. I can see the value of time between two people for a relationship. And sometimes I've got other people telling me that I've got to spend more time with the Lord. And then I've got to do it. I've got to spend more time. I cannot tell you that you've got to spend more time if I'm not doing it myself as well. And God is inviting us to come closer to him. I just want to read one of the miracles what Jesus has been doing. And as I'm reading it, try to understand that as we're coming closer to God, we're opening up things which can happen. We open up the atmosphere for miracles. Jesus was working on a Sabbath. The Pharisees didn't like it, but okay. Now he, which is Jesus, then was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could not in no way raise herself up. So she's most probably been walking something like this. If she could see Jesus, I don't know. Maybe she couldn't lift her head that she could see Jesus. But she was walking like that. And Jesus spotted her. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. He said, come, come to me. And I think the miracle already started over there by that person coming closer to Jesus. Because if you come with an expectation. You're expecting something. And then he said to her, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. Your spirit of infirmity is not going to steal any longer from you. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. She could stand up again. 18 years she's been walking, bent forward. And then the spirit of infirmity was taken away, and she could stand up. And what did she do? She glorified God. She knew where it was coming from. She immediately gave all the glory to God. In John 6:35 it says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But we've got to come. We've got to come to Jesus. And he will give us bread. We will never get hungry again. That spiritual food what he's giving us, it's going to satisfy all our needs. And if we believe in him, we will never get thirsty again. We never have got to drink any water again. That spiritual water is going to give us the strength that we need. God is asking us that we should come closer to him. And then he will come closer to us. We've got to make that step forward. And I want to conclude, I want to finish with God is asking us that we should come close to him. He's asking, as what the title said, come close to me. He's inviting us that we should come close to him. God wants to have a relationship with us. God wants to spend time with us. God wants to spend more time with us, is what he's spending at eternity. We basically are in preparation time now, because we are going to spend eternity with God. Day and night, for 24 hours a day, forever and ever. Logically, we've got to prepare for that. And that's what the Lord is inviting us now. He wants to spend more time with us. He loves us so much because he wants to spend eternity with us. And how are we going to react? What are we going to do? And that's basically the question what I would like to leave with you this afternoon. Are we going to have a distant relationship with God and keep him at a safe distance? Because if he's coming too close, just now I've got to do things which I don't like doing. Is that maybe going to happen? Or am I maybe coming a little bit closer to God? And I'm going to have an on and off relationship. So on Sunday, it's on. Monday, it's off. Tuesday, it's off. And Wednesday, it's on again. Thursday and Friday, it's off again. Saturday, if it's an encountered one, it's on again. Doesn't work like that. God really wants to have a close relationship with us. He wants to be close with us. And he's inviting us to do that, to come closer to us. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, you want us that we should come close to you. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. You're waiting for us, Father. You're inviting us, and you say, please, please come. Come, my child, I'm waiting for you. But Lord, we've got such a lot of excuses. We've got this and we've got that. And we've got to repent of that. I've got to repent of that, Father. That sometimes it's more about my time instead of your time. I'm putting myself first. Instead of putting your first, Father, and I repent of it. I want to come closer to you. I want to react on that invitation of you, Father. I want to be in that relationship with you. I want to come close to you. And as all the eyes are closed, I'm asking you, If you feel at the moment that you say, yes, I've got a distant relationship, or I've got an on and off relationship with God, which is not good, I've got to change it, and I want to make that commitment this afternoon, then I'm inviting you to put up your hand now and to come forward, that we can pray along with you, that you can make that commitment and say, Lord, I want to have a stronger relationship with you. I want to come closer to you. I don't want to be in a distance. I don't want to manage your time. I want to be that you're going to manage my time. I want to be totally subject to you. I want to humble myself before you. If the Lord is speaking to you this afternoon, if the Holy Spirit is stirring you to make that commitment, then I'm inviting you to come forward that we can pray along with you. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you're a God who's a father, who's got a smile on his face when he looks at his children. And we can call ourselves children of yours, Father. We want to spend eternity with you. We accept that invitation, Father. You're awesome, you're great. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Thank you, Father. We come near to you so that you can come near to us. In Jesus' name.